This is an interview with Senya Vaughn for Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Michael Robert Marquette at 179 Bonnie Bray, Warren, Ohio, on July 21st, 1974 at 11 p.m. Did you lose a job because of the Depression, and if so, when did you become unemployed and how long were you out of work?
I did not lose a job because of the Depression. However, it was difficult for me to find employment after finishing my nursing education due to the Depression.
Did you know many people who were long out of work? How did this seem to affect them? Were they largely bitter about it, or did they tend to feel that, after all, everyone was in the same boat anyway?
Well, there were some people who had rather a casual view of it, but most people with whom I was acquainted felt bitter about it and felt that this was a situation with which they were very unhappy.
How did people who were out of work feel about accepting welfare?
Some people accepted it as a matter of course. They felt that this was coming to them. But by far and large, the majority of the people who had been gainfully employed and were in the habit of working for a living did not wish to accept charity or welfare. And they felt that any assistance that they did receive for which they did not work was charity.
Were there many local projects designed to help people out of work?
Not too many local projects. Part was federal, part was state. The local governments mostly encouraged people who could hire, who had the money to hire people, to hire as many as they could, and they also provided means whereby people could work for the city in order to pay for their city obligations by working on road crews and cutting weeds from roadsides, etc.
How did people feel about the federal government's unemployment measures, such as the Civilian Conservation Corps? Do you know anyone who worked on local CCC projects, such as the ones in Mill Creek Park? Did such people think these were good things or not?
Answering the first question about the CCC camps, I did know a few people who had gone to them, had worked there. The general impression I gathered from these people was that they were satisfied with the program as it was, but they would have preferred to have other type of private employment. However, they felt that this was a substitute from which they could improve later. Local projects, most people felt that they were totally inadequate in the area where I was living, and I was not familiar with the Mill Creek project. The last question, what was the last question?
Did such people think these were good things or not?
I think I answered that.
Okay. What did people feel was the main cause for them being out of work during the Depression?
Well, it seemed to me that most people felt that it was a political thing. And, of course, they were blaming the current president, the party in charge. However, there were some people that realized, the more sophisticated people and people in business realized that this was not true entirely, that this was due to business factors which had occurred. There were numerous strikes, long strikes, such as railroad strike. John L. Lewis had organized the mine workers, and there were mining strikes, there were steel strikes, and which of course caused the growth of business to drop. And this was not only in the United States, but there was a dropping of business worldwide. Some less prevalent than it is today, but nevertheless, there was a and there was worldwide inflation at this particular time in addition. And these factors were contributing factors, and I feel that many of the people felt this to be true. However, the common man did not think this.
What view did people take of the state government efforts to relieve the Depression?
I think the most of the people felt that the state was doing only a fair job to alleviate the Depression, and they felt that more constructive methods could be taken.
The federal governments?
As I recall, most people with whom I had contact, plus material which I read, gave me the impression that the average public felt the government was taking positive steps. And with the public works programs, and with the CCC programs, with the bank holiday, which set into motion legislation to make it necessary for banks to, not make necessary, but to give banks the option of being federally insured, and savings and loan companies. And these were steps which the public did approve.
Do you remember anything of the city's efforts of Warren?
Relieve the Depression? Well, I think Warren City was about as progressive as any city was at that time. They were, the city itself did try to get more people employed into the city water departments and into the street programs, and they also had programs for cutting grass along roadsides. They tried to encourage people to hire them, and at this time some of the sewage work was done, and of course this was, they were able to do much of the sewage work at this time by low-cost labor, because people were working for a small sum of money.
Were there any specific individuals to blame for causing the Depression in And if so, who were they?
As I stated before, there really were no specific individuals to be blamed. However, the general public felt it was the president and the government.
What did people tend to think of Hoover during this period?
They felt that he and the Attorney General were just negotiating with Japan and not paying enough attention to the country's economy. That was the general discussion among the people around this area at the time.
What did people tend to think of Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Well, then in the election which followed the crash, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was running, and of course people felt that they wanted a change in government, and they liked his program, his promises. They voted him in, and they seemed to be generally happy with the program.
Okay. Did people tend to worry much about the happenings around the world at this time? For example, the rise of Hitler in Germany during the 30s?
I don't think that they were worrying too much because everybody was so busy worrying about their own financial situation. However, in school, we were very much aware, first of all, of Mussolini's rise to power in Italy.
What, if anything, did people feel about the Russians were doing with communism during this period?
Well, the general consensus of conversation among the family and social groups of my time at that particular period was that they felt that the communists, having put in their five-year program, were our bitter enemies. They felt communism was entirely wrong, and they were very strongly opposed to it. It was a great topic of conversation among the lay people with whom our family associated. However, we didn't hear too much about it in history class in school or in current events classes.
Okay, what did people think about the Democratic Party during this period?
Well, most people were anxious to change to most anything, I think, and Democratic Party was there, and it was the stronger party of anything that was being offered. They wanted, they voted overwhelmingly for the Democratic Party, and it was a landslide win.
What did they think about the Republicans?
Well, they felt that they had been let down the drain, and they were very unhappy with them and naturally voted them out.
Were there any times during the Depression when the people sensed that things were about to get better, and if so, when?
Well, I think the feeling that things were getting better was so gradual that it's very, very difficult to say when. But there definitely were signs of improvement, slight improvement around the, I would say about 30, 34 and 35 with the public works programs, people were becoming more encouraged, although they were still, there was still hunger, there was still unemployment and everything. It was a bad situation. I think things were beginning to look up at that time.
The stock market crashed in 1921 or 1929. It crashed again in 1937. Were people aware of any worsening of their lives as a result of the second crash in 1937?
I feel that Mr. John Q. Public was hardly aware that there was a second crash. A business people would be, but the average worker was not even hardly aware of it, except what they might have read in the paper. It made no difference to them.
How did people feel about the industrial strike during this period?
Strikes. Well, the strikes in general just were not a popular item at that time, because everybody was just about ready to work for under any circumstances and for any amount. However, the unions were pushing for better working conditions and for more money. And there was a lot of strife between the union workers and those who would work for the industry as scabs.
Since people were reluctant to go on strike, if so, were there any exceptions? For example, the little steel strike of Youngstown in 1937. How did people feel about that?
Well, it's pretty much as I just stated, that people were not anxious for strikes, and even the little strike was rather unpopular. I was not in Youngstown at the time, or in Warren, so I'm not too familiar with the situation, but what I do recall of it, it wasn't too popular.
Were there any people who discovered surprising ways of making a living during the Depression? Did you know of anyone who was able to start a small business, or do you know of anyone who became a hobo?
Oh yes, there were numerous ways of making a living during that period. Just as, well, one is hungry, one finds ingenious ways. People, young people especially who had any musical background, with the repeal of Prohibition and the coming in of the bars and the so-called nightclubs, entertainment was sought, and people went in as vocalists, pianists, or they would form orchestras, and some of them had small beginnings and made good later. There were those who had hobbies previously and made a business of selling handmade goods. They baked, any kind of odd jobs. And as far as hobos are concerned, hobos were very prevalent. There was never a week, and many times not a day, between hobos coming around asking for sandwiches or something to eat, anything at all. The railroad detectives were kept very busy. Some of them would actually help some of them by informing which boxcars were available, which side to get out, which side to get in. And but some of the detectives were very stern and would not let them ride the rails, as it was called. Then these hobos, they gathered around the railroad tracks, not too far from the tracks. tracks. And they were comrades, really, although they did not know each other always. But they soon became friends because they would share their little tidbits of food and build a fire, and they helped each other. They had a grapevine system of information.
Okay, do you remember how well supplied the grocery stores were during the Depression? Were their prices high or low? Did the fact that some people raised a part of their food affect grocery store prices in any noticeable way?
Well, of course, supply and demand did take hold with the lack of employment. People did not have money to buy. They were buying on credit. If you had cash to pay, it was cheaper. If you were buying on credit, of course, your prices were higher. The stores were stocked well, adequately with food, but people bought only those items which were absolutely necessary, and if the price went up too high, well, it just simply went unsold, and people waited until the price came down. So your supply and demand there again worked. And the stores soon began to know, they were mostly neighborhood stores, who had gardens and what season they should supply foods, certain foods, whatever was grown in the area. They just did not stock them, only to the amount that they anticipated they could sell. Also, another factor was that certain areas had certain likes and dislikes for certain foods. So what you might be able to find in one neighborhood, you would not find in another neighborhood. And oranges and things like that, and apples you bought in season, oranges you got at Christmas time, things like this were a luxury. You had meatless days all the time. You had meat only a certain number of days a week.
If people had regular jobs, what did they do with their spare time?
Well, if they had regular jobs, they were most fortunate. Most people worked, if they had work, they worked part-time, because the companies would split up the work among the men as much as possible. I know my father worked full-time for quite some time, and then he's cut back one day a week alternately until he was working 3 days and then 2 days and one. And then for about 3 months he didn't have any work at all. And then they started back again one day to each man on the job. And so on, they gradually increased. Now, as far as spare time was concerned, these men would try to find odd jobs. If they might find gardening jobs, some found jobs as caddies at the country club, but most of these were taken by the younger boys. Some of them tried to do hauling or carpentry work, or make things and sell them. Some of them just didn't do anything. And my mother did washings and ironings, so when Dad was off work completely, he helped with washing the clothes. But the rest of the family, we did the ironing. Of course, he couldn't iron. This is just an example. Then, as far as entertainment is concerned, numerous things came out. The radio was improved tremendously, from the crystal set to the cabinet models, the consoles, and the small table models. And the electronic process was going on. People were listening more to the radio. They were discussing it. There were church activities. There were movies. People went to movies a lot. They had a few dances. There were a lot of concerts. The churches had affairs to keep them busy. There were jigsaw puzzles were very popular at that time. This is when they really came into popularity. Also, Chinese checkers, to name a few.
Okay. Did lots of people raise gardens, as is sometimes said? What about the people who didn't?
Well, a lot of people did raise gardens. This was not only a matter of necessity, it was also a matter of occupational therapy, and which was a blessing in disguise. It helped many of the people to keep their sanity. Now, the people that did not raise gardens were those who did not have adequate lawn, mostly. But anyone that had yard space, or most everybody, at least had a garden of sorts. Some had rather elaborate ones.
What about people who succeeded in earning and saving money? Did such people put their money in banks, or did they distrust banks? Did anyone put their money in the stock market or anywhere else?
Well, people who had money, or who were able to save any money at that time, there were tremendous numbers of people who just simply did not trust the banks after the bank crash, because many people lost money and they only got a small percentage of their savings. Some of these people stashed their money away. They buried it somewhere or hid it somewhere in the house. But then there were those who did believe that the government was backing up the insurance, and if they were depositing money in a bank, they would only deposit it with an institution which had the insurance, whether it was a bank or a savings account. Then, believe you me, they really kept the watch on the bank statements, at the annual statements, and it was for many years that many of these people never put their money back in to the bank. And then when the during the war, when the government war bonds came out, then again people began buying those, and gradually the confidence did build back up. Now, going back to the actual Depression time, as far as stocks were concerned, the market was down. Some people bought on the down market and sold when the market went up a little and did make some money. Some bought when the market was going up and sold when it went down and lost money. But the market activity was not too good until we really got a bull market going.
Did families try to get extra money? Were women and girls encouraged to find work? If so, what did they find? What kinds of work did boys do?
Well, of course, at this time, everybody had to try to work. Women first. Married women generally were not employed in industry. They were not employed by the school system if they were married, unless they were widows with children, and or widows per se. Then the married women were not employed by industry as long, if it was a job that a man could do. Women did find odd jobs clerking sometimes, but mostly if they did any work, it was domestic work or sewing. They would sew in their homes for people, or they would go out and sew for people in the homes. That was about all women did. Then as far as boys and girls were concerned, boys generally also the boys caddied at the country club. They did odd jobs of cleaning outdoor, helping clean stores and buildings. And incidentally, one of the jobs that was open to women, married women, was janitress jobs in the bank buildings and office buildings. Going back to the boys, some of them were lifeguards in some of them worked went out on the farms and worked. Many of them who had to drop their schooling because the family could not afford to have them go to school anymore went to the CC camps. And the girls, as far as helping the family out, of course, everybody helped at home. They applied for jobs and did get them, working in restaurants and also babysitting. And I, for one, would go around every Saturday morning, and since finger waving was the style of the hair at that time, I would finger wave these ladies' heads for a quarter, and I furnished my 10-cent bottle of Dr. Ellis's hair setting lotion from the dime store. So I made a pretty good income that way. Also, I babysat. Another job which boys had was in those days called a soda jerk, because ice cream parlors were popular at that time. They frequently were working in the confectionery departments and the made ice cream sodas and various fancy ice cream dishes, sundaes, etc.
Did many young people tend to leave home during the Depression, or did young people tend to remain at home longer than otherwise would have been expected of them?
Well, young people had a tendency to stay home longer at that time because there was no money for them to go on into further education to college as we have now. Although the desire was there, the money was not there. There were no scholarships available, and so the young people stayed at home and worked, and it was cheaper to live at home and pay a small board than to go someplace else and try to find a job. If they were lucky enough to get a job, they stayed where they were. But now, again here, some of them went into the service who were lucky enough to get an appointment to either Annapolis or they went into the Army. And of course, at that time, there was no Air Force. Then some of them went to the CC camps and so forth.
Okay. Would you be able to say whether family life improved or suffered during the Depression?
I think the family life improved during the Depression in one point. It brought the family close together. They were working together to keep the family together, to keep body and soul together in many instances. Of course, we didn't have anything that drastic in our situation, but I saw it where members of family would actually go out and beg for food, and everybody brought a they got a little bit here and a little bit there. They brought it home. At least this fed the family, and it was a mutual thing. Everybody working together. Now there were cases where some of the children would feel that they were getting nowhere, and they thought that maybe they could make it somewhere else, and they hit the rails and tried to get work elsewhere, and sometimes they were successful and sometimes they weren't.
How do you remember church attendance during the Depression? Was it up or down? And could what you remember be applied to all church groups or just only some? And if so, which?
Well, I think on the whole, the church attendance was pretty good. Now, there were some who became embittered to the extent that they even blamed the church. But this was absolutely in the minority. And some people did not go to church because they felt they did not have presentable clothes to go, you know, after they had been out of work for so long. And they didn't have money to put in the collection plate. And people who were proud just did not want to go. In our own church, what they did was they collected the money out by monthly payments, and then they also put the collection plate around. But it was such that you could stick your hand in there and jiggle the change, and nobody'd know whether you put any in or not. And everybody was so concerned about their own selves that they really were not looking to see who was putting money in the collection plate and who was not. And during the offering, they were singing a hymn, so they had to keep their eyes pretty much on the hymnal. And but our attendance was pretty good, and from what I observed and heard from other churches, it was pretty good.
Did many people not complete their schooling as a result of the Depression? Can you give any examples?
Oh, there were a lot of people who did not complete school because of Depression. Boys from, and girls both, from 14 years on, dropped out of school because they did not have money to buy books, and they didn't have money to continue on to school, and they, in order to try to make a living for the family, some of them tried to go out and do some work, which of course was very difficult to get, and even if it was a small amount, every little bit added to the family pot and helped. Many of them did not have clothes to go to school, and they would just drop out. And as far as higher education was concerned, beyond the high school level, people were fortunate to even graduate from high school. Many of them dropped out after graduating from junior high. And there were no scholarships, as I said before, available. And unless your parents had money enough for you to go to college, you just did not go.
how far did parents feel their kids ought to go in this school during the Depression, about on the average?
Well, on the average, they had a desire to have their children well educated. However, it was a financial matter, and many people felt that if they got through 10th grade, that this was adequate, especially for girls. Now, they felt the boys must get a high school education, but the girls could quit after 10 years or even 9 years. And they felt that the girls could quit and the boys of the family could continue on to through high school.
Do you remember kids as being generally more or less independent of their parents, in their parents' opinions during this period?
Independent of their parents, well, it all depends on just exactly the meaning you wish to convey there. They really, if you mean independent financially, I don't think they were independent, but I think that they learned a great appreciation for the value of money, because everybody had to help earn money.
How did people feel about being lost during the Depression? Was there any decline of law and order or not?
As far as law and order was concerned, I think law and order was pretty good at that time. There were, of course, the mobs during the Prohibition period, the bootlegging gangs. But after Prohibition was abolished, they diminished, and they went into some other forms. There were gangs in the cities. However, towns like Warren and Youngstown and smaller towns, the laws were pretty well obeyed, and those who were caught doing wrong, the law was pretty strict, and they were punished. The law enforcement officers had the power, and the courts went along with them. And I don't feel that there was as much criminal activity then as there is now in proportion to the population.
How do you remember people felt about having to pay income taxes during federal personal income tax was begun in the early 30s, and many people try to avoid it?
Well, for an average person, of course, the poor people and the middle class people didn't need to worry about it because they didn't make enough money. Now, the people that came into the category where they would have to pay taxes, I feel that there were a lot of loopholes, and the tax laws were not as stringent. They had many deductions. They had many tax-exempt forms of income. And you just didn't hear too much discussion on it.
Were veterans organizations active during the Depression? If so, what kind of things did they want?
Well, the veterans organization, of course, the veterans of World War I made a march into Washington. They wanted a pension. They wanted improved hospitalization. and so forth, which they eventually did get. They were quite active. They had a lot of state and national activity.
Were women's organizations active during the Depression? If so, what kinds of things did they want?
There were very few women's organizations that were active at that time. Mostly they were church groups, or educational groups, sorority groups, and so on. It would not be recognized in the sense of women's organizations of today.
Do you remember there being any talk about conservation and ecology during this period? Can you give any instances?
The only real things that I recall at that time about conservation and ecology, not first conservation. Of course, as farming was concerned, this was discussed a lot, and the Agriculture Department had a lot of information going out because the Dust Bowl period was at that time, and they were trying to teach irrigation methods, and there were brochures out in the hilly country on how farmers should plow their land in order to conserve the soil and the water supply, and also in the plains. Then as far as, what was the next subject, ecology. Well, as far as ecology was concerned, the one item that was discussed, it was not called ecology at that time. People were beginning to complain about the loss of the land to agriculture where strip mining had been taken place.
Who had radios during the Depression? Everybody or only some? Who?
Well, during the very beginning of the Depression, radios were very rare, and only the richer people had them. The upper income people and a few middle class people. Then as time went on in the 30s, about 31, they were becoming more popular. Of course, the technology being improved, they had table models and console models. People were beginning to buy them because credit was becoming very profound at this time. You were allowed to buy them on credit. And so people were buying them to use as a means of entertainment. So they wouldn't have to go somewhere else. And of course, this was quite a novelty. Somebody had a radio. Why, everybody who was a friend of this person went to their house to listen to the radio. And of course, when the Jack Dempsey and Tunney fight was on, I recall, why, everybody had to find out who had a radio so you could go and hear it. And there were some of the people who were famous then, about that era, and say within 5 years of that time, Gracie Burns and Allen. Then there was Fibber McGee and Molly. And, everybody listened to this, and Rudy Ballet. It was Bing Crosby came up, and some of the popular sportscaster was Bill Stern, was real popular at this time. And
Will Rogers
was very popular at that time. Of course, I remember very well. All I know is what I read in the papers.
What was your own favorite program then?
I had to listen to Lowell Thomas every night, and I had to listen to Will Rogers. And I loved to hear Kate Smith. And every Saturday, I simply had to hear the New York Philharmonic concert with commentary. And during opera season, every Saturday afternoon, I listened to the opera. Was a little highbrow on some of it. And then when it came down to the popular guys, well, I did like Rudy Ballet real well. And then I liked Kate Smith.
Were crystal sets more prevalent during the early part?
Well, the crystal sets were the very first. And I remember one friend who had a crystal set, and that was way back. But there weren't very many. Actually, by 29, we were getting out of the crystal sets and into the more improved type.
Do you remember what movies were like during the 30s? Could you recall and describe any that you especially remember?
Oh, I especially remember My Blue Heaven with Jeanette Gaynor. And of course, there was a lot of romance in it. These were all family-type movies. They were boy meets girl, a great love story, and they live happily ever after. And I suppose these were really very popular because voice was coming in, the audio was in the movie, and they were called talking pictures first, and then later on they were called sound movies. And actually true that misery loves misery. I think that people like to go see these movies and kind of daydream a little bit, and it was good psychotherapy. Also, they had some musicals coming out, I just don't recall for sure what all of them were. I didn't get to go to the movies too often. I didn't have any extra spending money.
Did many people go to the theater?
Well, if they found spending money, they would rather go to the theater where they could spend a good bit of time to see maybe a double feature, and they would see the news, and maybe a sing-along might be in there, and possibly there might be even a Le Bodeville show. And at this time, Henry Ford was trying to bring back the country folk dances, and he had sponsored contests throughout the country in the various theaters. And I can recall that there was square dance and a dance called the quadrille, which he was trying to bring back. And I just don't recall what some of the other country dances were. But whoever had the group that did the best dancing, or the couple, or the person who did the best dancing got a prize, and those with the best costumes got the best prize. And this had to be original type costuming. So it was rather fascinating to me to see this, because I'd never seen anything like this before. And people really did flock in those nights.
These were the times when people had the marathons and the goldfish.
Oh, yes. The goldfish swallowing came on in the latter part. But the dance marathons came on about 31, I believe, maybe 30. And we would listen to the dance marathons. Oh my, yes. You got so that you, I know there was a program from Youngstown, and there was a marathon at Idora Park, and we would listen, and you got to know these people by name, and you began to root for them as though you were rooting for your own home team.
Who had automobiles during the Depression, and who did not?
Well, the ones who had automobiles were more wealthy, only the middle, upper middle class, the lower middle class, just did not, unless they lived out on a farm and they had to come into town to work, and mostly the farmers had a truck because they could utilize it for transportation of farm products and getting to church even sometimes.
Did you take any vacations during the Depression? If you did, where did you go? If you were able to take vacations, who were the people who did, and what kind of places did they go? And was it popular for vacationers to stay at motels, or did many people camp out when on a vacation?
Vacations? We would say, what's that? Vacation to us meant no school for 3 months. That was what vacation meant. In the summertime, after we finally got a car, we would go visit our relatives, and prior to that, you went by bus or by streetcar. And if you happened to go someplace to stay overnight, that was a real big thing. You visited for the day, and that was it. Now, you would read about vacations, and then the people that your family worked for, the bosses, they went on vacations. You heard about this, and you heard that they would go out to Geneva on the lake or to Madison on the lake, and then some of the more affluent, they went to Chautauqua, New York, and that was it. And the people that got married, if they had enough money to scrape together, or they could borrow a car, or if they didn't have one of their own, and buy gas for it, they would go to Niagara Falls for a honeymoon.
Were you or was anyone you know in college during the Depression? If so, what kinds of groups were you active in?
Well, I wasn't in college because I didn't have the money to. I was accepted, but we couldn't afford it. So I entered a 3-year nursing program in the hospital, a diploma program. I found it a bit skimpy financially, but not too bad. For girls, nursing was not too bad a program then in a diploma school, because the uniform was furnished, and your room and board was furnished, because when you worked, and this was considered compensation for the work that you did on the floor taking care of patients. And we had a small stipend. I think we got a couple dollars a month. Well, this would buy our hose for duty and for street, and of course you always ask for money or the necessary items for Christmas or birthday, which helped. And there are very few people I knew that went on to college. Some of them who were fortunate enough to have enough money, some of them had to take jobs as waiters in the schools, and some of them work their way through, maybe they would have to stop for a half a year to work and then go back to school to finish. Some of them worked part of the day and went to school part of the day.
Were you or anyone you knew a union member during the Depression? If so, what were unions most interested in during this period, economic matters or politics? And if so, did they see themselves as Democrats or socialists?
Well, I knew a few union people, not many. And the ones I knew in the steel area, I think they felt that they were more Democrats than socialists. They were interested in increased economics.